Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Reading once again the letter of the Lord Jesus through John to the church at Thyatira, found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity, and service, and faith, and patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and have not known the depth of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give unto him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's give thanks for these words and pray that we will have an ear. What God through Christ has said to the churches and continues to say today. Our Father, we do give thanks for every word in the Holy Scriptures. We give thanks for the prophecies. We give thanks for the warnings. We give thanks for the promises. We give thanks especially for the gospel of Christ, that it which is to be preached to every creature, that Thou, Lord Jesus, didst die for sinners according to the Scriptures, that Thou was buried and rise again the third day, and then, after a number of days, ascended up to heaven. We think of those angels stating that Thou, Lord Jesus, will come again in a like manner on the clouds of glory, and every eye shall see Thee, and those also that pierce Thee shall mourn because of Thee. We pray that Thou wilt lead us today and in the days ahead to mourn after our sins and mourn because we have pierced Thee and because we have brought Thy death upon Thee, that we might mourn now and not be those that will mourn at Thy coming. Not like we read here of this woman who was warned and who is described as repenting not. We pray, Father, that none of us may be left in that terrible state, that state of unbelief, that state of rebellion, that state of pride, that we will not repent. And we pray, Father, for that in the church. We pray for it in the world. We pray for it for Jew and for Gentile, that we might be brought to repentance and we might be given that blessing also promised of Christ, that He will give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel and to all nations throughout the world. We think of the promise given to Abraham that in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And we pray that today for our nation. We pray it for all other nations, that soon the gospel might both be preached and blessed by the Spirit, that hearts will be opened to receive it, that the church will be revived, the church will be made one, that the rest of the world will know that Thou, Father, hast sent Christ, that they will not only hear His name, but see His power in the church, the power to unite, the power to humble, and the power to make one. We pray also, Father, for the temporal blessings. We pray for those that are homeless, those that are starving, those in war-torn lands, those in ravages of storm, those in sickness and injury and sorrow. We pray for the broken homes, and especially the children in those homes, that Thou wilt teach them and not leave them to themselves. We pray for more laborers to be called and sent to every nation. We pray also, Father, for the many that have the Scripture in the home that have not believed it and have not read it, that Thou would bring many to believe the many Scriptures that are on the shelves but not used. We pray that Thou would use that, Father, in our nation like was done with Josiah, finding the Word, reading the Word, trembling before the Word, knowing Thy wrath upon them then, and Thy just wrath would certainly is upon us today, that we might know it, Father, before that wrath falls and brings our destruction. We pray it all and give thanks through Christ. Amen. As we look at this letter once again, moving on through it, thinking of that sad fact of Christ giving her space to repent and then having to state, "And she repented not." This was spoken of a particular person, given the name Jezebel, spoken to a particular church, but it is also true for all people, all churches. As Paul says to the Athenians, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Some of these churches were directly called to repent. The first church that was written to, we read in the fifth verse of that first verses of the second of the second chapter of Revelation, "Remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Before the Great Awakening took place with Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield, who came later from England to this country to preach, and the wonderful blessing they had then, they felt the Spirit was well nigh quenched. and they thought the time of their salvation was probably past, if the Spirit was gone. And here, when the Lord Jesus said to this church, "We'll remove the candlestick," it'll leave the church in darkness. Like the candlestick gives light, the Holy Spirit has to give light on the Word, give light especially on Christ, as Christ said before He died, and before the Spirit was given in that wonderful way on the day of Pentecost, that when He comes, He will take the things of mine and show them to you. We need His light, even to see Christ who is the light. As we can read in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, "The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Such darkness in our hearts. A little bit later, when the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, He said that men loved darkness rather than light. And that was evidently the way it was here in this church at Thyatira. This woman wanted to keep on in her sin. And Christ said that, "I will kill her children with death." And it said, "I am He that searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, "He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." These were deeds of the flesh, wicked deeds of the flesh, lust of the flesh, the sinful ways that she was guilty of, mentioning both fornication and adultery. Evidently to those that weren't married, fornication, some that must have been married, when He said that they were guilty, that commit adultery with her, and they would go into great tribulation except they repent of their deeds. What a solemn warning. I read this week of a man who started out in a life knowing the Word of God, associating with those who knew it, and then got into company that didn't believe and mocked the gospel. And at first he sort of stood against them, but little by little he gave in to them and finally joined with them. And then he came on his sickbed, and he had the candlestick, as it were, removed. He knew he couldn't repent, and he knew he was going to go and die and go to hell. He knew it so vividly, so terribly, and it was awful for those that were described as seeing him, praying for him, stood with tears before him. And he says, "You only make my misery worse." We read in Romans chapter 1 where God gave them over to a reprobate mind. We have the warning over and over in the Old Testament and again in the New. "Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart." If our heart gets hard, not listening the first time, harder after that, what a dreadful place we can be in. What a terrible way, terrible thing. To know the Scripture and then to know that we have not repented and know that it's too late. It can be that. Christ speaks of it, both for those who are seeking and giving warning to others as well. To those that are seeking, He says, "Many shall seek and shall not be able to enter in when once the Master have risen and shut the door." Too late. Here, He gave that warning. "I will kill her children with death, and the churches shall know that I am He which searcheth the reins and the hearts." This can take place today, as well as it did at that time, 1900 and some years ago, when the Lord Jesus directed John to write to this church. Then, after that, He says, "To them that have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden." Satan. Depths of Satan. Who is he? What are the depths of Satan? He was there shortly after God created man in His own image. He was there tempting Eve. Not only tempting, but brought her to sin. Brought Adam to sin. They listened to the one who said, "Hath God said," who said to them, after God had said, "The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die," after God forbid them to eat of the one tree, and Satan tempted them to do so, He said, "Thou shalt not die." But they did. They died spiritually. love to God was gone. A wrong fear of God took place. Adam tried to hide himself from God, from the one who is here speaking, one who with the Father created the world, and of whom we can read, "Let us make man." God the Father, God the Son, and here describing himself as the Son of God who hath eyes like a flame of fire. As I've said before, many evil things are done in the dark, thinking nobody will see, man won't see. But this one who is on the right hand of the Father on high, one who can make his enemies his footstool, has those eyes as of a flame of fire and knows every one of us and our down-sitting and our uprising, our thoughts afar off, our lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life as well as the deeds. He knows our hearts. Yes, and he says, "I will give every one of you according to your works." The works of the mind, as well as the hands, the feet, the body, whatever it may be. Words, the Lord Jesus said while he was here on earth, "By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." He knows every word, and all those things are written. The books will be opened on the day of judgment. Pray that he'll open them to us now, like he did with David, showing him his sin. David saying, "Thy arrows stick fast in me." He knew the pricks of his sin, the guilt of it. And David could say then, "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." What a blessing to know sin, to know our guilt, and to know forgiveness, righteousness of Christ. Do not take that lightly. Not everybody that hears it believes it. Christ said, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it." The gate that leads to life. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Only Christ knew how many here in this church at Thyatira were on the broad way and would die in their sin. "I will kill her children with death. I will give to everyone according to your works." What a terrible thing to be given to our works. Because there's none that doeth good, no, not one. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's one work that will make us right with God. The work of Christ, and that alone. Oh, don't take it lightly. Don't just say, "I believe that historically." We must believe it in our need. We must believe it as sinners. First, lost sinners. And then even after being saved sinners, hear the word. Like all these saved sinners in these seven churches were spoken to. Some of them may not have been saved. There may be divisions, as we read here in the 24th verse of this second chapter, "But unto you I say, and the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put none other burden on you." And we come back again, as we did before, to those words, the depth of Satan. Satan has been mentioned a number of times to the other churches and to this one. In the 9th verse, to the church at Smyrna, the Lord Jesus told John to write, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan." Synagogue of Satan. We may not know for sure if that was actually a Jewish synagogue taken over by those that were Satan's children, like Christ said, even in his time here on earth, of the temple. You've made it a den of thieves. He spoke to those who were in charge in the temple, the scribes, the priests, the Pharisees. He said, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, how can you escape the damnation of hell? And then we think of the time of Jeremiah. Long before the time of Christ, God told him to stand in the gate of the temple. And he said, you say, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. He says, but this is no longer the temple of the Lord. And some number of years after that, God allowed that temple to be burnt down, destroyed. The beautiful temple that Solomon had built, God's presence no longer there. Like we read of the church at Ephesus, the candlestick removed. Solemn things, oh, so much more than we think. We take it so lightly. We're so much like that last church written to here, the seventh one of, thou wert lukewarm. We live in dreadful times. We know it in many ways. We know it in our nation and politics. One party knows how terrible the other one is, how hopeless they are. But none seem to know it of themselves. And I fear that the church is like Christ said in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, that you are the salt of the earth. You are a light upon a hill. And then that solemn word, but, if the salt hath lost its savor, is good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. If the church has lost Christ, it can have a form of godliness, but has no power. It is like Christ said before he died, without me you can do nothing. And only after he died, those that had that resurrection power, those that knew he died for them, and those are the ones that John can write to here and say, the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put none other burden on you, but that which you have, hold fast till I come. Many were ready, expecting Christ to return at that time. Paul had to even warn the church at Thessalonica that things had to transpire first, and that's still true today. There are things that are promised in Scripture that I believe have not yet happened. And on the other hand, there are those described, also in Thessalonica, described as waiting for Christ to come again. We should always expect that, and especially every one of us know he can come in our death. Sometimes without a moment's notice. Just heard of a mother, 50 years old, driving, suddenly the car sliding, hitting another car. Death took place, leaving the number of children. Over and over and over it happens. Just a moment's time gone. Christ has come to take his own, if they're his children. That happens every day. Every day, over and over and over. It is Christ coming for his own. And one day he will come when all will be gathered in. But here he says, hold fast till I come. And then giving those words, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. The Lord Jesus taught his apostles for 3 years. They were quite ignorant in a number of things, and especially in the gospel. The Lord Jesus had to say to them during those 3 years, are you also yet without understanding? He did give them some power. At times they were able to heal the sick, to cast out devils. There was also a time when a man brought his son to them and They couldn't cast him out. And he rebuked them and said, "O ye of little faith." And then later he said to them, "This kind cometh forth by prayer and fasting." They went through those 3 years of training. And at his death, they didn't understand it. When his resurrection took place throughout the day, they didn't believe it. But at night, he came to them and breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." He also opened their understanding and they might understand the scriptures. We read the first promise and the first act in John. We read the second one of so open the understanding in Luke chapter 24. So they had some blessing of the Spirit. But then he also told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. And after that, even though before that they argued who was the greatest, they were in unbelief, hardness of heart, he had to be reproved. But after the Lord Jesus ascended, we read of them that they were in one place, in one accord, in prayer and supplication. And soon the Spirit was given in a mighty way. We call it the day of Pentecost, described in Acts chapter 2. And they were given power over the nations. God ordered it so much on that day of Pentecost that there were at least there those from about 16 nations all gathered at Jerusalem. And they all heard Peter and the rest speak in their own tongue. And the word was sent with power. 3,000 were saved. And again, we need that blessing today as it was given then. Peter spoke of it later when he went to the house of Cornelius and said, "God again gave the same blessing to them as to us at the first." Most of those on that day of Pentecost were Jews or proselytes from different places, all those different countries that I said, about 16, 17 probably, that came and all heard different languages, but heard in their own tongues and were pricked in the heart, believed, were baptized. Pray that it'll happen again in the church and in the world through Christ.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.